And now on TBA, Mission to the Unknown.
Welcome to New Earth. Let us cure you.
We can cure anything.
Portray syndrome. Terminal. Wrong. We never lose a patient. We're here to help you. Donations welcome. Come to New Earth and be cured.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Whoa. Okay, what are we doing? We're doing a thing. Yeah. So this is this. Who are you?
I'm Sam. I do digital art and stuff like that. I'm a little bit of a Doctor Who fan, but I haven't watched the show regularly since I was about 12. So
it's made for 12. That's fine.
Yeah. It's well into Tennant era.
Well, this is about that. So
yeah.
15th of April, 2006.
Yep.
This was aired.
God. So it's over 10 years ago now.
Yeah, this feels horrible.
Yeah,
like a really old person. But I thought start off, you know, this inaugural thing. I thought we start off with a little quiz.
Oh, okay. We're gonna get into the era.
Yeah, so this is kind of like just what was the number one song on the UK charts and the top movie, the UK box office when this is broadcast.
Oh my god.
Okay, so I'm gonna give you, which one do you want first, song or movie?
I feel like my knowledge is probably gonna be slightly better on movie, but even then, still. 2006. Well, it was early in the year. Oh man.
I can give you clues.
Okay, yeah.
Let's just go. I'll give you. I'll let you know. The clues for the movie are easier than the clues for the song.
It begins with a what?
The clue for the movies is
right.
It's easier to guess for like what movie it is than the song.
Yeah.
So I'll give you the movie first. Okay.
Okay.
It's the fourth movie of a franchise.
Okay.
It's directed by one of the Zuckers who directed Airplane and the Naked Gun.
Right.
It stars Bill Pullman, Charlie Sheen, and Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, it's going to be a parody film, right? It's going to be like one of the...
It could be. It's the fourth movie, so... It's a bit scary.
Oh god, it isn't, is it?
It's Scary Movie 4.
Ah,
directed by the people who made the Airplane as well, which is.
But seriously, I thought it was. Are those the same people then? The same people that make the like movies?
No, they're like two like friends whose dads are like movie executives or something that like just give them a lot of money to make movies.
Yeah.
But like,
oh my god,
he's apparently making like Republican propaganda now or something. According to Wikipedia,
what?
He's like he made like an anti-Obama like parody advert about like Iran or something like that.
Yeah. That's really weird.
The song, I'll give you a clue. It's considered one of the best songs of all time. according to Rolling Stone. The singer, it was like a band, but the guy who sang it is a solo artist, like a prominent one. He was a judge on a version of The Voice.
Okay.
The song itself was used to advertise one of the Best Picture nominees at the Oscars 2 years ago. And I can give you a lyric if you want.
Okay, yeah. The lyric's probably going to help the most.
I remember when, comma, I remember, comma, I remember when I lost my mind, full stop.
Oh, man. I have no clue.
It's Crazy by Gnarls
Barton. Really?
Yeah.
No way. Oh yeah, shit. Because that was like one of the longest charting songs.
Yeah, it's basically the number one song for the entire Tennant era. So that's gonna be quite fun.
Yes.
In the future.
Didn't they withdraw it because they just got sick of hearing it?
It's not a very good song, to be honest.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that aren't very good, let's just go on now and talk about New Earth.
We will return after these messages.
Coming soon to theaters.
Okay now, Charlie. I'm going to show you the most beautiful thing in the world.
For generations, the Price family has been famous for their shoes. Now, if Charlie can't save the business...
I had to fire 15 people today.
His entire town will be left in the cold.
What can I do?
Do.
Change the product.
Ladies, gentlemen, and those who are yet to make up your mind...
Look behind you. It's your niche market, Charlie.
Do you think there is a market for boots for women? That I meant.
All this way for my advice, I feel like Oprah.
Now,
Charlie?
If they can learn to work together...
Morning, Charlie.
...they might just get the town back on its feet.
Please, God, tell me I have not inspired something burgundy.
But they're comfy.
Sex shouldn't be comfy!
Thank God, I thought it was just me.
You are making 2.5 feet of irresistible, tubular sex.
Any questions?
This spring...
There are some very funny people out there.
The only way to succeed in life...
Does he look sexy?
Does to me, George.
...is to put your best foot forward.
I give you the Kinky Boot Factory!
Thank you.
Kinky Boots.
Can I just ask, are you a man?
I am, love, yes.
Just so I know how to leave the toilet seat. I'll get some biscuits.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. Without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much. Does that make me crazy? Does that make me crazy? Does that make me crazy?
Okay, yeah.
I first time since, I think, because what the channel Watch on Sky, mm-hmm. which is now W for some reason, show like this all the time. But the first time I've watched it since, I'd say, 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
And the CG is, it's like they got like a picture of the actor and then like photoshopped it onto the footage. It's like, yeah, those GIFs where it's like, or GIFs, where it's like they it's like a normal gif, but they get like a celebrity's face and like Photoshop it on. It looks really like kind of it's basically that, like, well, embarrassing.
Even like by 2006 standards, the CG is like really hokey. Like, I haven't watched the full episode, like, I think since it premiered. So, you know, but I have watched like clips, like the weird little bits that BBC Worldwide like slip under the door and you get to like catch a fleeting glimpse of. I watched the infamous like Clearasil shower scene, and it just looks like a Clearasil advert, you know, when they're just like, they do the like clock wipe around the face and it goes from like zits to clean.
For some reason at the end of that, when like he just, it's like, everyone hug me, I'm all clean and stuff, they start burning, there's like a little smoke that starts going off them for some reason,
like, yeah. Well, I think it's probably the most hokey like the science has been in the show as well, because it's just like, how do we cure these people? We'll mix everything. Anyway, that's getting too much into the plot. I suppose we want to do a bit of a synopsis or something.
Basically, Rose and the 10th Doctor are going on their first adventure. They mm-hmm. go to New Earth.
Yep.
Which is New Earth.
Yeah. And it's a sequel to the second episode of the first series as well.
Which, if anything, deserved a sequel. I mean,
but the one where the world ends is like, yeah. Where'd you go from that?
This is really it. Which area is like a trilogy of Face of Bow episodes. That's really actually all set around New Earth.
They
go to New Earth and then they basically go off fanning around the field, and then they have to go to a hospital run by cats, where the Face of Bow was like, "I'm going to tell you a secret when I die. Don't worry, I'll tell you secrets. Don't worry." And then he eventually doesn't even turn to give them the secret until like 2 years later.
Yeah,
but basically, it turns out the not only are the cat people evil,
mm-hmm.
and one of them's played by Martha's mum, which is
no way.
Yeah, one of them is her for some reason. I don't know. And that Cassandra, who's like a bitchy trampoline, according to one of the episodes, is there.
Yeah. Oh god. I rewatched The End of the World recently, and there's a really like dated joke where like Rose just calls Cassandra like Michael Jackson. She's like, "Oh, it's just Michael Jackson over there." I was cringing so hard on the inside. I was like, Russell T. Davis, or I think that was a T. Davis episode, must have just written that and been like, "Oh, so cool."
And the camera Toxic as well by Britney Spears.
Yes. And then Tainted Love. And then the fucking like head bop Eccleston does to it. Brilliant.
Oh, anyway, that happens, and basically there's all this shenanigans happening, and at the end of the episode, Cassandra gets to go back in time and talk to her old self and say, "Oh, you're so beautiful, you're so beautiful," and then that's it.
Yeah, well, the important part is that we have a Doctor episode that has like a sort of body swap thing happening. And I know, like, the general consensus is that, like, Doctor Who's, like, a little bit of a kid's show, but, like, even that seems like such a suspension of disbelief. And they have so many, like, weird jokes about it as well. It's just, like, Rose's accent gets, like, really noticeably posher, and, like, Cassandra's constantly going, "Oh, I have large breasts now."
Which is Billy Piper's real accent, apparently.
Yeah! When you watch her in interviews and stuff, you're like, what the hell? I think it's more of, like, a Chelsea London accent.
It's weird though, because like this episode she gets to use her real voice, and next episode then like tends like Scottish all over the place.
Oh yeah, that's really weird. There's loads of like unintentional like recurring themes happening, because then you've got like the sort of the twin Martha like bookend with her mother in this episode, and then Dream Rageman herself,
and the fact that like the rest of series two, this is terrible.
But yeah.
There's a really weird character in this. He's like Cassandra's assistant. He's like a clone.
Mm-hmm.
He's Irish for some reason. And I looked, he's not Irish in real life, so I don't know why he's playing Irish in this.
Yeah.
It's also a terrible Irish accent, and I'm pretty offended by it. But...
Yeah. Well, he was literally called like Chip as well.
Yeah.
It's like, great. Good job. So was he a clone then? Because I don't even remember that part of it.
She says like, oh, he's like a clone graph based on my favorite pattern. And turns out like he looks like that because he was her when he turned up at the end of the episode to tell her she was beautiful. So.
Oh,
so
right.
Basically, somehow she's made him out of him without any like basis for him.
Oh.
It's a really weird thing.
Oh, that's weird. Oh, because I guess like he was the only person that ever said that she was beautiful. So it's like a weird paradox time loop.
Yeah.
And
he will be featuring, there'll be a kind of line of the episode later on. There'll be two of his later on because they're incredibly, incredibly badly, poorly delivered lines. It's not good.
Yeah.
It's really like bland. It's no one's favorite episode at all.
Mm. I think it's definitely good that even though this was the premiere for season two, this wasn't like the first Tennant episode either, because I don't remember that many like defining moments for him in this episode, really. Like,
all he does is like, "Oh, I'm so good. I'm like, no one's gonna die because I'm so good." He's the most Jesus-y of all doctors. Like, especially
yeah.
the Christmas one with Clem and all. He gets like, lifted up by two angels, like a
Yeah. Oh God, that episode in itself just deserves its own thing. That the Titanic episode is just.
Oh.
Amazing. Just the fact that they purposely called the ship Titanic just so they could mislead people with the like series 3 cliffhanger. It's so bad.
I don't know, like, and they really talk about it because it's just it's impossible to talk about it because it's so like boring and
yeah
uneventful. It's just they go to the hospital, the face of Bo is there. Voiced by a guy who's, I think it's probably just like a technical thing.
Yeah.
But his voice is out of time with like the model.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So he's just like, blah, 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 and then the head will move and it opens his lips.
I don't think they ever fixed that, did they? Because I remember when they did, even in like Utopia at the end of series 3, when they do the flashback, it's just like the lip sync barely matches.
It is Captain Jack anyway, apparently.
Oh God!
Russell T. Davis will not let you make any kind of spin-off examining that theory. He said he's banned it from being examined. He says he hates it. He doesn't think it's actually
the
proper thing to do.
Did he write that line? Like, did they ever?
Did he's just like, oh, it's a mistake. I probably shouldn't have.
Oh God! Yeah, because it's really cheesy, and it just like strikes of like. Them trying to make an arc where it wasn't there. They're like, oh, look, it's all connected. We just threw this line in there. It's like, what the hell?
Plus, he doesn't have banging dreadlocks like the face of Buddha, so...
Yeah, and why would he be a giant head in a jar? How long does that, like, deterioration progress take? How does that work? Oh, God.
I don't know. It's I don't know, it's just bizarre.
Yeah, it is just like, classic Doctor Who, like, oh, let's just do something cool first and then explain it later. Screw it.
There's, I think it was the face of Bo was going to die in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But Russell T. Davis had like a book. It was like the script book of all series 1 scripts.
Yeah.
And Moffat had written an introduction to it and he opened it up and said like, oh, you know, Russell T. Davis always makes interesting characters and then killed some off straight away.
I remember reading about that actually.
It was like, oh, well, not this time, and he kills him up the next day. So like, it's not even that like a big like stand or anything.
God, that explains why he doesn't. He just like teleport away.
Yeah, he's like, next time, my planet needs me. I must leave.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's totally a Poochie. Like
the face of Bo is Poochie.
Yeah, it's true. Oh man. It's like even down to the line. It's like, you look like you have something you need to say. I have to go now. My planet needs me. And then he just, the cell just gets pushed up. Brilliant.
Anyway, it can go two things. You can do it. There's two quiz options.
Oh gosh. Okay.
They're going to happen either way. We can choose between two first. There's trivia.
Yeah.
There's three true bits of trivia and two false bits of trivia.
Ooh.
That you can guess where you can get. There's a death in this episode.
Ooh, okay.
You can guess where which death it is and where it ranks on the top 100 Doctor Who magazine deaths list.
Oh my god!
Which how one the hell you first?
How does that even rank? Sorry, but like,
there's literally no counter or anything. It's just literally like a thing.
Yeah. Out of all the deaths that Doctor Who's had, though, like, how does that even rank on the top 100?
It's top 100 from 63 up to that Titanic episode. It's like a really old issue, so.
I guess.
I'll give you a hint. The trivia one will take a longer time, so.
Yeah, do whatever you think will like work first, I guess. Okay.
Trivia. After these messages, we'll be right
back. Coming soon to own on DVD.
Lot 666, a chandelier in pieces. Some of you may recall the strange affair of the Phantom of the Opera. Gentlemen.
Okay, like I said, there's three bits of true trivia.
Yeah.
Two ones I've made up.
Oh, God. Okay.
And to win this quiz and to be on like the top of the leaderboard for guess and stuff, you have to guess at least two of them correctly.
Okay.
Okay, so first bit of trivia. This episode is the first time since 2005, like since the show came back, they showed an alien planet.
Oh. Oh shit. I'm gonna go with false on that one.
Technically, I think it is false because it's Earth.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking.
But according to this, it's true. The next bit. The working title of this episode was Sky Police. And centered on the Doctor accidentally receiving an intergalactic military jetpack.
That's false, because that's a Simpsons episode. Yeah. Brilliant. I heard the Sky Police part, and I was like, that's kind of plausible. And then the fucking military... Oh, God, that episode. Why did they name that after a fucking cutaway gag in the first, like, 5 minutes? And then the rest of the episode's about like gambling in the church or something. I don't know.
Okay. You're almost there.
Okay.
You get one more right to seal the win.
Right.
Billy Piper's boyfriend, it wasn't Chris Evans, who she divorced from by this point, I'd say.
Yeah.
Billy Piper's boyfriend visited the set and broke the face of Bo prop.
Oh, shit. That sounds true. Is it?
It's true.
Oh, shit. So is that why it didn't work, or was it just always like that?
I'd say it was just cheap. You know,
yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if there was just some guy like behind it, just like manually moving it. Like there was no mechanism.
He's on a bicycle trying to power the.
Yeah.
There's two more bits of trivia if you want either one. Like one of them is true, one of them is false.
Okay.
So like get like an extra point. Is this true or false? Chip was originally a dwarf named Zagat. Wait, before you answer,
okay.
There's another bit of thing. Duncan James from Blue was the original choice for Chip. Now, which one of those is true?
The dwarf one sounds like slightly more plausible. So
was he dwarf or was he Duncan James from Blue?
I'm going to say the dwarf one's true.
You're right.
Oh, thank fuck. I don't know. I don't think I'd ever be able to seriously watch the show again if the Duncan James one was true. Jesus.
Okay, so the top 100 deaths.
Okay.
Okay, where is it rank on the top? And you have to guess the death as well. I can give you what the death is for half a point.
All right. But if I guess, I get the full.
Yeah. You have to guess what the death is and where it ranked.
It's not as lame as I thought it was going to be. So I think the death is when one of the like nuns gets all like boiled up. I don't remember which one it was. I know it's not Novice Haim because that's the one that's in the next one. I just can't remember what the other one's name was. Is that it? Or
I can tell you the death was it was involved, I think, in the tearjerkers section of the magazine.
Oh,
it's really, it's like 20 of this kind of death. It's Chip as Cassandra.
Oh, so it was.
And it is number nine. Is ranked 19th.
19th.
Yeah, according to their scale, if you count them all up, it's number 19 on the
count. What?
Number one is worse. Number one is Kylie Minogue going off the edge of a.
That was one of the worst. What? That was so bad, though. That was just like. It was so pointless.
It beat out Adric dying at number two.
Yeah. Well, and at least Adric's like.
Number three is like a Patrick Trevin episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah, at least Adric dying is like slightly tragic. Like, even if the character was like horribly annoying. Like,
going over a precipice in a forklift is the saddest.
Because you can't hit the brakes for some reason. What the hell? And then she like turns. I suppose she like turns around and it's like this really stupid doll pose. God, why was that 19? Because that's why I was like, how did that even rank on the top 100? Because when you think like best, it was best deaths, right?
Hang on, I'll get the issue. It's basically. It just says.
Is it just top 100?
It just says top 100. I can.
You assume that means best, though.
I can give you number 100 is from school reunion with Anthony Head eating an orphan or whatever.
Yeah.
As he is wont to do.
Yeah.
It is in tearjerkers. It comes before a death in a John Pertwee episode where a guy gets killed by a maggot. And it is proceeded by the death of a companion's father in a Patrick Troughton episode.
Oh, okay.
The closest new series death is from End of the World, actually, which is two behind it, which is when the tree woman catches on fire.
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting death.
But top, I don't know, it's forklifts.
Yeah, when you think like top 100 Doctor Who deaths, though, you think of ones that are like the scariest or like the most entertaining, not like, oh, you're so beautiful, and then dead. I mean, maybe, I don't know, I guess it's slightly emotional, but like the way they acted it in the episode was so like,
I'm just reading the, like, it's like a couple of paragraphs from Russell T. Davis.
Yeah.
Saying that, like, originally she wasn't going to die. Which, according to his original pitch, she was going to die. Then he says it was the best send-off they could have given to Kylie Minogue, which is kind of rude, which is like, the best way he could send you off is murdering you in a forklift.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's...
Yeah, I suppose, because then otherwise people would just be like, it would be a bit like a Donna Noble situation where people would want her to show up again.
And an interesting coincidence... They've interviewed with Nava Same in the back of this issue.
Oh, okay.
Like
the actress or like an in character? Yeah. Okay, good. It's like a really cringy like role play. Okay.
I was trying to see what this issue is. That's that, basically. There's no more trivia.
Yeah.
No more quiz.
What was the other like sister called? The one that like dies?
It's like Sister... Rasta or something. No, not Sister Rasta. That's probably like a Rastafarian band or something.
Yeah. I'd be surprised if I forgot about that one.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, I'm going to try and find... I'm trying to look on the wiki.
It's probably like Sister Random Consonant, Random Vowel, Random Consonant.
Oh, God, probably. It probably has like five apostrophes in it.
Yeah.
Sisters of it's not Sisters of Plentitude, it's Sisters of Plenitude.
Yeah, I thought it was Plentitude. They're going to go Sisters of Patience originally, apparently. There's yeah.
Sister Jack.
Matron Casp, which is...
maybe that was her.
The Duke of Manhattan is in this too. There's...
Oh, man.
The Duke of Manhattan, who's Tiny Fee.
Oh.
The actor is Tiny Fee.
I forgot about that. Was that in this episode, the Duke of Manhattan?
Turned to stone. There's
it's really just a blue head.
That's I don't know. There's I don't know. I'm just looking at the broadcast ratings. IGN gave it a 7.2 out of 10. The AV Club in 2014 gave it a C+, whichever that means.
Yeah.
Nick Setchfield of SFX. Questioned whether the brash, colourful, and occasionally how that loud, funny tone was appropriate to start the series, but he praised the concept of the cat nuns as well as the prosthetics.
Yeah. I just looked up the Duke of Manhattan, and it's just literally a guy in a fat suit.
Apparently, back when Netflix sent the DVDs, which is a lifetime ago. When they sent up the Series 2 box set, during this episode, there was an error where at the 32-minute mark of the episode, the DVD abruptly switched to a scene from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the beginning.
Yeah, I heard about that, actually. But, oh, my God.
All those copies are probably gone now because they were all pulled from the... Which is a shame.
How the hell does that... It must have been, like, the same distributor or just same manufacturer.
Someone having a laugh.
Yeah, probably.
But, yeah, I think that's it. Do you want to pimp anything? Announcing that organic, people.
Yeah. I guess I have a Facebook page, Sammy Crow. I post art there sometimes. It's not usually Doctor Who related, but... I think I drew...
There was J. Edgar Hoover one. Hoovering.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was... I forgot about that. That was a weird one. Yeah. That's pretty much everything. And then on Twitter, I'm just at Sammy_Crow. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's that. There'll be links, I suppose. Going out will be... Whatever song, whatever. There's usually a method to this, but that's it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me.
No problem. You're welcome back.
Woo.
Whenever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's it.
Cool.
So long, and see you again.
Child is clean.
Oh, the brain meat expired. The brain meat expired.
Who needs arms when we have claws?
We're going to die here.
Well, they certainly didn't mention that in the brochure.